I think we are now in, should be 1935, huh? It's page 174. I think it's during her annual retreat, something like that. Yeah, retreat. When I stayed for adoration from 9 to 10 o'clock, four other sisters stayed too. When I approached the altar and began to meditate on the Passion of the Lord Jesus, a terrible pain immediately filled my soul because of the ingratitude of so many souls living in the world. But particularly painful was the ingratitude of souls especially chosen by God. What I think what she means is the priests, the nuns, they are the chosen one. They are the most ungrateful. We took for granted that God loves us, and so there's no notion or comparison which can describe it. At the sight of this blackest ungratefulness, I felt as though my heart were torn open. My strength failed me completely, and I fell on my face. Not attempting to hide my loud cries. Each time I thought of God's great mercy and the ingratitude of souls, pain stabbed at my heart, and I understood how painfully it would wound the sweetest heart of Jesus, and also of Mary too. With a burning heart, I renewed my act of self-oblation on behalf of sinners. With joy and longing, I have pressed my lips to the bitterness of the cup which I receive each day at Holy Mass. Each the share with Jesus has allotted to me for each moment, and I will not relinquish it to anyone. I will comfort the most sweet Eucharistic heart continuously, and we play harmonious melodies on the strings of my heart. Suffering is the most harmonious melody of all. Many times you want to avoid suffering, but for Sister Faustina, suffering is a melody accompanying Jesus with joy, with peace. I will assiduously search out that which will make your heart rejoice today. The days of my life are not monotonous. When dark clouds cover the sun, the ego, I will try to brave the beetles and make known to others that the sun is not dying out. Although at times we can't see the sun, but as an ego, you can see it. So tell people, God still exists. God still loves us. I feel that God will let me draw aside the veils of heaven, so that the earth will not doubt His goodness. God is not subject to eclipse or change. He is forever one and the same. Nothing can contradict His will. I feel within myself a power greater than human. I feel courage and strength thanks to the grace that dwells in me. I understand souls who are suffering against hope, for I have gone through that fire myself. So most painful things lose hope. But God will not give us anything beyond our strength. That's all we believe in. Or the cross, we can have the strength to carry. Often when I lived coping against hope and have advanced my hope to complete trust in God, that which he has ordained from all ages happen to me. A general principle. It would be a very ugly thing for religious to seek relief from suffering. See what grace and reflection made out of the greatest criminal. He who is dying has much love. Quote, remember me when you are in paradise. The one on the left, on the right, no? Right side of Jesus. No? Heartfelt repentance immediately transforms the soul. The spiritual life is to be lived earnestly and sincerely. Admit that we are sinners and ask for forgiveness. Love must be reciprocal. If Jesus tastes the fullness of bitterness for me, then I, his bride, will accept all bitterness as proof of my love for him. He who knows how to forgive prepares for himself many graces from God. As often as I look upon the cross, so often will I forgive with all my heart. Whenever we have no courage to forgive, no, look at Christ on the cross. Through holy baptism, we enter into union with other souls. So not only you are baptized, you are entering union with others, one body with the others. Death tightens the bonds of love. So there is no separation, it's coming together in the Lord, with the others too. At times we feel very selfishly, oh, I go to heaven, what? It's not you, we. Since you are baptized, you are one body. When you suffer, the whole body of Christ is suffering. So when you're joyful, you make the body joyful too. I ought always to be of help to others. If I'm a good religious, I will be useful not only to the order, but to the whole country as well. So we share the destiny, not only of the order, congregation, but the whole country, or we say, the whole world. The Lord God grants his graces in two ways, by inspiration and by enlightenment. If we ask God for grace, he will give it to us. But let us be willing to accept it. And in order to accept it, self-denial is needed. Many times we only ask for graces, but we never have any condition to receive this grace. Love does not consist in words or feelings, but in deeds. It's an act of the will. It is a gift. That's saying a giving. A gift is a giving. Eight times give, we mean taking. The reason, the will, the heart, these three faculties must be exercised during prayer. So when we use the reasoning of things, thinking of the desire of something, always during prayer time. I will rise from the dead in Jesus, but first I must live in him. If I do not separate myself from the cross, then the gospel will not be revealed in me. So that's why many times we couldn't understand any words of the gospel, because we don't live his passion. We take outside, our foot is outside this realm. Jesus in me makes me for all my deficiencies. His grace operates without ceasing. the Holy Spirit grants me its life abundantly. But the gift of the Holy Spirit, the three divine persons live in me. When God loves, He loves with all His being, with all the power of His being. If God has loved me in this way, how should I respond? I, his spouse. During one conference, Jesus said to me, "You are a sweet grape in a chosen cluster. I want others to have a share in the juice that is flowing within you." You know, her heart is always bleeding with Jesus, you know. She is sweet, but tastes sweet herself. During the renewal of the vows, I saw the Lord Jesus on the peaceful side of the altar, wearing a white garment with a golden belt and holding a terrible sword in his hand. This lasted until the moment when the sisters began to renew their vows. Then I saw a resplendence beyond compare, and in front of this brilliance, a white cloud in the shape of a scale. Then Jesus approached and put a sword on one side of the scale, and it fell heavily toward the ground until it was about to touch it. Just then, the sisters finished renewing their vows. Then I saw angels who took something from each of the sisters and placed it in a golden vessel, somewhat in the shape of a turbo. When he had collected it from all the sisters and placed the vessel on the other side of the scale, it immediately outweighed and raised up the side on which the sword had been laid. At that moment, a flame issued forth from the turbo, and it reached all the way to the brilliance. Then I heard a voice coming from the brilliance, "Put the sword back in its place. The sacrifice is greater." Then Jesus gave us his blessing, and all I had seen vanished. The sisters had already begun to receive Holy Communion. When I received Holy Communion, my soul was filled with such great joy that I'm unable to describe it. February 15, 1935. A few days visit at my parents' home to see my dying mother. When I learned that my mother was seriously ill and near death, and that she had asked that I come home as she wanted to see me once more before dying, a host of emotions were awakened in my heart. As a child who sincerely loved its mother, I wanted very much to fulfill her wish. But I felt this, I left this to God and resigned myself completely to His will. Paying no heed to the age in my heart, I follow God's will. On the morning of my name day, February 15, Mother Superior gave me a second letter from the family and grants me permission to go to my parents' home to fulfill the wish and request of my dying mother. I began at once to make the necessary preparations for the journey and left with Linus in the evening. I offered the whole night for my seriously ill mother, that God may grant her the grace of losing none of the merits of her suffering. My suffering companions were very kind. Several women of the Solidarity of Women were in the same compartment with me. I sensed that one of them was suffering greatly and fighting a difficult battle in her soul. I began to pray in spirit for this soul. So it happens, you know, you can see some bodies, you know, going through some problems, pray for them. No. At 11 o'clock, these women in spirit, at 11 o'clock, these women went to another compartment for a chat, leaving only the two of us behind in a carriage. I could feel that my prayer was causing this soul struggle to become even fiercer. I did not console her, but prayed all the more fervently. The time you try to console people, counsel people, helping people out, she didn't do this. Just pray for that person. Finally, the lady turned to me and asked if she was obliged to fulfill a certain promise which she had made to God. At that moment, I received inner knowledge of the promise and replied, "You are absolutely obliged to keep it, or else you will be miserable for the rest of your life. These thoughts will pursue you everywhere and give you no peace." That's her words toward that woman. Surprised at the answer, she opened her soul to me. She was a school teacher. When she was about to take her examinations, she has promised God that if she did well in her examinations, she would devote herself to his service, that is, enter a religious congregation. She passed the examinations very well. But, she said, when I entered into the hustle and bustle of the world, I no longer wanted to enter a convent. However, my conscience has given me no peace, and despite amusements, I'm always unhappy. After a lengthy conversation, she was completely changed and told me that she would immediately take steps to enter a convent. She asked me to pray for her, and I felt that God would be generous with his grace. Close. That morning I arrived in Warsaw, and at 8 o'clock that evening I was already at home. What a joy it was for my parents and for the whole family. It is difficult to describe it. My mother's health had improved a bit, but the doctor gave no hope of complete recovery. After greeting each other, we knelt down to thank God for the grace of being able to be together once again in this life. When I saw how my father prayed, I was very much ashamed that after so many years in the convent, I was not able to pray with such sincerity and fervor. A good soul prays better than a consecrated person. And so I never cease thanking God for such parents. Oh, how everything had changed beyond recognition during those 10 years. The garden had been so small, and now I could not recognize it. My brothers and sisters had still been children, and now they were all grown up. I was surprised that I did not find them as they had been when we parted. Stanley accompanied me to church every day. I felt that he was very pleasing to God. On the last day, when everyone had left the church, I went before the Blessed Sacrament with him, his brother, and together we recite the Te Deum. After a moment of silence, I offered his soul to the sweetest heart of Jesus. How easy it was to pray in that little church. I remembered all the graces that I had received there, and which had not understood at the time, and had so often abused. I wondered how I could have been so blind. And as I was thus regretting by blindness, I suddenly saw the Lord Jesus, radiant with unspeakable beauty, and he said to me with kindness, "My chosen one, I will give you even greater grace, that you may be the witness of my infinite mercy throughout all eternity." The days at home passed in much company, as everybody wanted to see me and talk with me. Often, I could count as many as 25 people there. They listened with great interest to my accounts of the lives of the saints. It seemed to me that our house was truly the house of God, as each evening we talked about nothing but God. When tired from these talks and yearning for solitude and silence, I quietly slipped out into the garden in the evening so I could converse with God alone. Even in this, I was unsuccessful. Immediately, my brothers and sisters came and took me into the house, and once again, I had to talk with all those eyes fixed on me. But I struck on one way of getting some respite. I asked my brothers to sing for me, and as much as they had lovely voices. And besides, one played the violin and another the mandolin. And during this time, I was able to devote myself to interior prayer without shunning their companion. So she stayed there, let them make the music, and she keep her prayer. Silence. No, she went out just to want to keep her silence, but the brothers wanted to keep it, take it back to her back. But still, she took opportunity, whenever, silence. So important, man. And we seek for time to talk. And she is taking time to be with Jesus. What also cost me a lot was that I had to kiss the children. The women I knew came with their children and asked me to take them in my arms, at least for a moment, and kiss them. They regarded this as a great fervor, and for me it was a chance to practice virtue, since many of the children were quite dirty. But in order to overcome my feelings and show no repentance, I would kiss such a dirty child twice. You see? This doesn't mean she doesn't like the children. But they're so dirty, you know, she wants to keep herself clean. She'd kiss them double. It means time to look after children, so then they're dirty, you don't like them. Kiss them twice. One of these friends came with a child whose eyes were diseased and filled with pus, and she said to me, "Sister, take it in your arms for a moment, please." My nature recoiled, but not paying attention to anything, I took the child and kissed it twice, right on the infection, asking God to heal it. It had many opportunities to practice virtue, so she didn't say what the result. I'm sure got cured. She didn't mention here. I had many opportunities to practice virtue. I listened to people pour out their grievances, and I saw that no heart was joyful, because no heart truly loved God. They have all heavy of crosses. Many don't enjoy because in their heart they have no God. That means the time when we don't feel peace, first ask yourself, where is your God? Many times, all those painful things happen to me. You tell yourself, if not, you might be very happy, joyful, loving God very much. But on the contrary, the more you love God, then all these things, it's a joy. Because you share the passion of Christ. And this did not surprise me at all. I was very sorry to have seen two of my sisters. I felt in theory that the souls were in great danger. Pain grieved my heart at this thought of them. Once when I felt very close to God, I fervently asked the Lord to grant them grace. And the Lord answered me, I'm granting them not only necessary graces, but special graces as well. I understood that the Lord would call them to a greater union with Him. I rejoice immensely that such great love reigns in our family. As I was taking leave of my parents and asking for their blessing, I felt the power of the grace of God being poured out upon my soul. My father, my mother, and my godmother blessed me with tears in their eyes, wished me the greatest faithfulness to God's grace, and begged me never to forget how many graces God had granted me in calling me to the religious life. They asked me to pray for them. Although everyone was crying, I did not shed a single tear. I tried to be brave and comforted them as best as I could, reminding them of heaven when there will be no more parting. Stanley, her brother, walked me to the car. I told him how much God loves pure souls and assured him God was satisfied with him. When I was telling him about the goodness of God and of how He thinks of us, he burst out crying like a little child. And I was not surprised, but this was a pure soul and as such more capable of recognizing God. Only pure heart can feel the presence of God. Little things can make them cry. Once I was in the car, I let my heart have its way, and I too cried like a baby. She didn't cry before the parents and the brothers, but she cried. Many times when they say people say goodbye to you in the airport, you won't cry much. Otherwise, they will cry more. But after you go inside the room, the airport, and you cry more like a baby, no? For joy that God was granting our family so many graces, and it became steeped in a prayer of thanksgiving. So next time when you cry, then afterwards pray. Not just look at the newspaper and then look at the television and then just distract yourself. By evening, I was already in Warsaw. Firstly, I greeted the Lord of the house, Jesus the Eucharist, and then I went to greet the whole community. So you see, first thing first, greet Jesus. Maybe next time when you come to church, first thing come to pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament before you go to the second floor or before you go to the garage or before you go to change or bring everything. Of course, when you have your things, put it down outside and then say hello to Jesus first. First thing first. She's teaching us. Can we learn something from her? Very beautiful, huh? Family. I think you missed your family too. As much as you would like to cry now, but no, Jesus is with you. The joy is always one with Jesus, no? You're one with Jesus, you're one with your family. If you're outside the will of God, You're outside Jesus, outside, then you are outside with, also outside of your family. It's important. In the Lord, we are one family. So we are not far away. We are just one. With Sister Faustina, we carry on this week. Give joy, offering all the pain. Joy to exceed, to accept all the pain. No, we are asked. You're invited, no?